when you've been absorbed in him, everything kind of looks really dark when you come back. Even when you're standing underneath these kind of spotlights, it makes you still, your eyes have still got to adjust. your eyes have still got to adjust because, you know, the light where he is way more than the light here. I'm going to get on to the actual what I'm sharing on now. Lord, please help me to sober up just a bit. Just, I don't mind being an ass for you, Jesus. Don't you love it how the Lord sent out his disciples to, they got an unbroken cult. I mustn't go there, must I? they got an unbroken cult that had never been ridden before. So this donkey wasn't a well-trained donkey. The donkey wasn't used to, oh man, this is going to do my head and I can't stand still. the donkey had never been ridden before. It wasn't going in and out of Jerusalem every day. So the fact that the Lord chose to use a completely inexperienced donkey, one that had no idea what it was doing, it wasn't this dignified horse or anything. I'm going to use this, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll just switch it off now.
Hallelujah. Wow. So who would like to be an ass for Jesus? Experts aren't his first choice. It's always, it's the people that don't know what they're doing he chooses. They're a lot easier to work with because they have to be completely dependent on him. Yeah, here we go. Sorry, this... Okay. Is everything okay with the sound? Yep. I was trying to use the coffee machine earlier and I was getting these disco lights coming out and apparently it's not supposed to do that. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you that you hide us in your bliss. Father, that we would abide in the realms of your heart, Lord. That you would find your place of habitation in us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you make us fearless facing darkness. Thank you, Lord, for your morning star rising like the sunrise in our hearts. Lord, we give all that we are to you. We welcome those infinite realms of your heart, even now, Lord. It's not something we can manufacture. We can't tell you what to do. But Lord, I just invite those complete realms of your heart to completely encompass us tonight. Lord, that you would just have a free flow of your divine heartbeat in and through us tonight, God. Because you're so wonderful. You're wonderful, Lord. So I was going to share tonight on the circumcised heart and how it's a mystical door. It's through this mystical door that we get to govern the galactic inheritance of all that he's entrusted us with. Sorry, are you going to tell every time I go out and come in because it's messing with the sound? Oh, Jesus, please, you know you're playing games with me tonight. Oh, goodness me. Okay. Wow. It's something so precious when our heart is rent. It's rent in four directions because that's the directions of the cross. We've got the eternal dimensions of the cross that are revealed in and through our hearts, a yielded heart before him. Of course, it's a place of covenant, isn't it? It's a place of covenant where we begin this adventure. So basically, through this place of bloodshed, that we come out of his heart, we go into his heart, so that he can go through our hearts. We come out of his heart to go into his heart through our hearts. So we're to rend our hearts and not our garments. It's the change, it's the transformation from the inside out. It's not just putting on pretty clothes or changing your hairstyle. It's the inner transformation and it's outworked through you. It comes from the most deepest, hidden, most part of you. The place where he chooses to habitate is somewhere somewhere that nobody has access to those infinite, those deep thoughts that you have. And yet that's the place where the Lord communes with you on such a deep level. Not only that, he invites us into that place that we may enjoy him. He invites us into his heart. He's given us the mind of Christ. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we're found in his voice, it's because we have a dwelling place, a habitation in his heart. It's only through being hidden in his heart that we can have a voice to speak, that we can decree a thing and see it be established. So it's a mystical door through which we get to walk with God. He steps through our wounded heart and invites us in to walk with him. So in this, we lay down our life in order to receive his life. We put off corruption and we put on incorruption. Yeah, so he chose us. He chose us first so that we could inherit eternal life. You see this cloud here? Sorry, I'll bring my notes through it. So we don't need to be dependent on this physical reality or our notes. Or even a physical body. Because the infiniteness of God goes beyond our physicality. There's something really powerful in learning to break off our attachments and our anchors to the flesh and to what we see around us. You know, of course we honour and we take care of our physical bodies because it's been entrusted with us, and of course we get to see new life and replenishment and rejuvenation. We don't just completely, you know, forget about this physical flesh. It's just that our life source is from another realm. Our life source is from in him. He's our Abba, he's our dad. He's the very source of the life-giving streams. So it's in our heart that it's the core of who we are, and that's where we're connected to heaven. You might start to feel your heart expanding as I'm sharing. It's because this realm of his presence just starts to rest. And sometimes there's a frequency on my voice that brings a peace. So if you're feeling a bit settled, unsettled and anxious, sometimes there's a frequency in that that just brings you into a place of rest. And in the place of rest, you're more able to clearly receive and hear from the Lord. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about, that's okay. You can just rest and enjoy him, because he's going to minister to your heart at a way deeper level than what I can. Because I'm just the ass, remember? There's a real simplicity in this journey. But it's important for us just to align with his perfect will. I remember one time the Lord told me that the unknown path is a bumpy one. I was hitting quite a few speed bumps at that time in my life. I was kind of saying, Lord, what's going on? And he just kept telling me, well, the unknown path, daughter, is a bumpy one. It's not like going out on the freeway, where it's completely fast, smooth sailing. Initially, when you're making a new pathway, you need to deal with a few brambles, you need to, you know, deal with a few rocks in your way. You might have to drill through a whole granite mountain in order to make a way. But it's the unknown path, is a journey that no one else has been on. So you need to learn to trust him in that, even when it might seem a bit bit wobbly. The key part of it is being surrendered and yielded to his purposes and trusting him. Just like we're singing in worship, that was just beautiful. Just being willing just to trust him and go beyond our comfort zones. I had such a powerful encounter in when I lived in Hong Kong. I think it was about 2008 or something. And I was at this conference and this invitation came in just to... I don't even know if it was an invitation. I just remember the Lord saying to me about the depths of him. And this cry from my heart was for the depths of him, the depths of his glory. And I ran to the front and I was just pouring out my heart just saying, Lord, the depths of me for the depths of you, the depths of me for the depths of you. And I just wanted to know that one thing that I desire, that will I seek. That was a cry from my heart, and I was unraveled, and I was never the same again. I got hit by such a force of his love that completely transformed and rearranged me forever. I met with the goodness of God, and I also met with the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It was the most wonderful, rapturous time. And I couldn't speak at all. I was just sobbing. I couldn't move. I was just sobbing in his love and his goodness. But that most wonderful and defining moment came because of a choice of my heart, of just choosing to give everything to him. Because I was aware of, in that moment, when I met with the goodness and the intensity of his face, I knew that there was a possibility that I might not come back. And it was the willingness just to press into that and say, Lord, I don't care. The depths of me for the depths of you. That's how we can be fearless facing darkness, because we've met with the immensity of his love. And it's his perfect love that casts out all fear. That's how we can be fearless when we decide to press into the dark cloud, when we press into the dark cloud of unknowing. Because it's in the darkness that he hides the mysteries. You might not all get this, but we don't need to be afraid of the darkness. The darkness is an invitation for us to shine our light. It's in the darkness that he's hidden the mysteries and the treasures and the secrets. He's trusting us with the eternal realms of heaven. How remarkable is that? He's trusting us with the eternal realms of heaven. And yet we're a bunch of amateurs. But we're learning. And we learn through the yieldedness and the posture of our heart. We learn through that posture of humility. Do you know kingship is revealed through the mantle of humility, and the mantle of humility rests on the heart? And once that mantle of humility is rested on your heart, that then postures you for kingship, which is the authority that is displayed then in the kingdom realms. And then it's displayed here, but it's always there first. Ah, dear. You know, the kingdom of heaven is always increasing. It increases through the depths of our heart. It increases as we choose to yield. Our hearts then expand. So to the measure of our yieldedness, to the measure we're willing to be stretched and enlarged and expanded beyond our comfort zones, beyond our own abilities, into his infinite abilities, as much as we're willing to yield to him, that's as much as he can be displayed on the earth. That's how much we can reveal the smile of heaven. We need to learn how to expand our hearts like this, so that our lives can be doorways of the unseen. You know, it's through our mouths that the wisdom of the world is revealed. The Jewish people have, they liken the teeth to wisdom. And they say that when you begin to speak, you're actually bringing forth the mysteries from the unseen realm, from a place of hiddenness into the seen realm. So those mysteries, the things that you're holding in your heart, that's where it originates, in your heart. And then when you speak it, you're actually speaking out the mysteries. You're bringing something, a substance, from the unseen realm into the seen realm. Your words are able then to frame up your reality, because you've got the power to create, and every word that passes through your lips, that's the power that is invested in you. Because even your words carry light. Your words carry a frequency of light to create. We call it sound. It's just operating at a different speed. So the teeth represent the many thoughts that run through our head. And when we smile at somebody, it's because we're inviting them in to know the very thoughts that are running through our head. We're revealing something that's usually hidden. So from the most hidden and secret part of our souls, we can reveal heaven. We can become the connectors between heaven and earth, just like the menorah. You know, the Jewish people don't have all these things just for fun or just for religiosity. They have it because they're all triggers to make them think of heaven. They're all triggers that point to their father. They're all triggers that, you know, help remind them. Take the Orthodox Church, even the Catholic Church, they have all these, you know, we get a bit offended about the idols and the icons and stuff. But actually, they're not worshipping them like thinking that this is actually Jesus standing in this little idol. They have these pictures up because it reminds them of the heavenly reality. A bit like us having our Jesus loves you bumper stickers, you know, it just reminds us, yay, Jesus loves us. It's great to have triggers around us that help to remind us of his pervading presence in our lives. So if we want to be fully revealing his kingdom through the depths of our heart, we need to first be absorbed into it. Bit like a baptism. You go in a bit mucky and dirty, but you come out clean. So when you're absorbed into him, you go in one way, but you come out shining. I mentioned the Essenes earlier. You know, the guys that all disappeared, the great disappearance, the guys that would, you know, bring all that they had and then they would get to share in everybody else's stuff. Well, the Essenes, they had all these different ritual baptismal baths. Every single day, that was just part of their culture. They would have different cleansing and purification and, you know, baptismal baths. They even say that John the Baptist spent some time there, and that's where, you know, he became accustomed to baptizing people. He didn't just choose to run out into the desert and start dipping people in the River Jordan. There was actually a lot, you know, there was a lot behind that about releasing somebody into a new part of life. You know, we can be baptized into his heart. We can choose to walk out of the invisible realm. We can choose to be baptized into his death and then raised up with him to reveal his resurrection glory, his resurrection life. So whenever you're baptized, you're changed in your transition from one place to another. We go from, you know, the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, a place of not knowing him to knowing him. Yeah. Something quite unusual happens sometimes. I really struggle to feel what's happening in my... Sorry. Lord, I thank you. Do you know we have to be untethered from the earthly realm to be completely absorbed into his heart? Yeah, so you can picture your heart like this, and this is where we've been circumcised to reveal his light shining out in all directions. We're able to do this, but then we also then get absorbed deeper and deeper into his realms. It's not just as many people. Many people can habitate in his heart. Oh, Father, okay. You know, in him we live and move and have our being. So through this place of tearing, of brokenness and pain, actually allows his light to be revealed. Our heart is an altar before him. Our heart becomes the mercy seat. Because where the blood is smothered and where the fire burns, that's where his glory dwells. So our hearts can be a habitation of his glory. Our hearts can host the very kabod, that weight and honor of who he is. It's really magnificent when you start to feel that overshadowing presence of the Lord over your heart. I was in Israel, I think it was last month. Usually we go there on like a undercover assignment to go and pray at certain places or engage the courts. And I've seen God do some remarkable things there. And each time we've prayed, there's been a sign and a wonder that's actually occurred in the land. One time we had floods in the desert with fresh streams pouring out of the desert into the Dead Sea. And many times the Lord would hide us in the dark cloud of his presence. He would lead us which way to go by literally hiding us in his dark cloud. It would be blue skies either side, but the way that we needed to go, he would completely hide us. He would take us to places on the border where we could pray, and he would show us specifically what we were to do there and how to stand in the gap for various people groups and nations. He took us under the city. He took us over the city. He opened doors that no other man could open for us. He taught us how to expand time so that we could stay in certain places to pray completely, you know, on our own, which is quite unusual in Israel with a very high security and stuff. So the Lord has really just done incredible things with, like, me and a small team that we often go together. Last month, we went there expecting to do some other stuff at Borders, but he actually led us into the desert. He led us into the desert, the Negev desert, and there is a crater called a Maktesh, and it's in the shape of an elongated heart. It's like 45 kilometers long. And we were so blessed, we got to stay in just a youth hostel, but it was right on the edge of this crater. And whilst we were there, the Lord just taught us so much about the government of his love. He did some radical transformations in the ladies that were traveling with me, and just continually he was teaching us. We'd go wandering in the desert within this crater, because even standing on the very edge of it, looking out across this enormous vista, you couldn't see to the other side. So continually the Lord is teaching me, saying, you know, just likewise in my heart, you know, we can never explore the depths or the height or the width of his heart. We can't reach the end of it. It's endless dimensions of his love. Even to try and view it all, you can't even view it in one frame of your vision. It's so vast. To take a photograph, even doing a panorama, it just doesn't do it justice. So we'd go exploring the dry riverbeds, and as we're walking or praying, even in these places where, like, we're just speaking life, the Lord started teaching us about the, you know, there was various hard rocky places. There was like real areas that there'd been like volcanic activity. There was dark blackened rocks there that had been eroded away. They'd been scorched by, you know, the volcanic activity. And the Lord began to speak to me about the trials and various things that we endure in our own lives. But when you got up close to these rocks, the erosion or the hectic stuff that had happened had actually smoothed the surface so that you could almost see your reflection in it. It made it so smooth and shiny. There's so many areas in our heart that we might have felt that we've been through a lot of trouble and trauma, but often these situations and circumstances allow these rough edges to be shined and to be polished. A lot of the trials and stuff that we endure is actually divine polishings going on in the inside of our hearts. I love that there was just this enfolding. Even being lost there within this desert for days, myself and my two friends, like, we're all very different. We were free mountain climbing up, you know, up the cliff edges and stuff. But when we actually got there, I found this cave, and I was just happy to sit in this cave for a few days and just enjoy his presence. It was wonderful. Just, there was other beings, there was, yeah. Transdimensional engagement. And my other two friends, they're completely unique as well. One of them just wanted to climb to the very top pinnacle part of this mountain, and there she would just sit. And she'd like just survey the surroundings, and she'd start seeing things from the eagle's perspective. And she'd just sit up there revelating. And then my other friend is like super active. She didn't want to like just sit still. So she would just walk for like 3 or 4 hours hiking. She'd already climbed up the mountain, but she'd hike down it. And then, you know, we'd see her as this little dot in the distance. And she was patrolling all the dry riverbeds. She had a real heart just to see the streams flowing there again and to bring it back into, you know, fullness of how it originally was. But no, the Lord was teaching us so much whilst we were there. On the last day of being there, we drove through another really dry area. And as we turned the corner, we found this pool. It was the most like crystal blue, just stunning pool that you do not expect to find in the middle of the desert. Not only that, there is heart-shaped stones everywhere. Like, I often look out for them. If I'm like out in the countryside or even on the beach, I always just look out for heart-shaped stones. And here, they were everywhere. And it's in a crater that's in the shape of a heart in Israel. It's like as if the Lord put his heart in the Jolly Land and then covered it with heart-shaped stones, even great big heart-shaped boulders. So when we're sitting by this pool, we're sitting on these heart-shaped boulders. So when we're there, the Lord said, this is the place where I want all three of you to be baptized into my heart. And the water was freezing. We just went in our clothes. And all these Israeli families were coming down with their kids at sunset to come swimming. And they were so excited, saying, this never happens. You know, you just never see this. You're very blessed to see this. What a privilege. What a privilege that we are invited into his heart. We don't have to be in Israel to have that baptism into his heart, although it was a pretty cool thing to do. We can be baptized into his heart, into those realms of his love, just by our surrender and by our yieldedness. We can invite him to walk through that wounded place in our heart, through the circumcised heart, is a door of invitation for the Lord to walk through and be revealed in this world and for us to be revealed in that world. I'd often feel the tangible stretching and expansion of his heart in mine. Sometimes in worship or prayer, it's just like this deep groans. Sometimes I feel the ache. It's the gift of longing. It's a desire that can't be quenched. It's the thirst. It's a thirst for him. Even though he's given all, there's still so much more to be explored. It's still like looking out across that great big crater. There's still so many areas that I didn't even get to explore. Because he loves to wrap himself up in mystery. Because it's in the mystery that it invites us deeper, deeper in to know him. One time I saw the Lord and he was crouched down. And he was like rocking and he was brooding. And I went a bit closer because he was praying and like rocking with such fervency. And I saw that he was brooding like over this scroll. And I was so moved in my heart. I went over to crouch next to him. And I wanted to know what scroll it was because I thought, wow, which nation's this, Lord? Is this a nation you're going to send me to? So I wanted to partner with him and come into agreement with what he was praying for. So I crouched down next to him and I was just like, just rocking and praying. And it was getting more and more intense, more and more intense. And I could feel my heart just getting squeezed and squeezed. And I said, Lord, what scroll is this? And he just took a deep breath and he turned to me and his eyes were just streaming with tears. And he said, yours. And I realized then just how passionate he is about each of our destiny. He holds nothing back. Even when he's interceding for us now, he holds nothing back because he's so passionate about every single thing that is written in your testimony scroll. He's so passionate to see it come into completion. He's so passionate to see your lives come into complete alignment according to his Father's will. Thank you for your passion, Lord. Thank you for the beauty of your passion, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're pierced for us, Lord. You are pierced for the Father's purposes, God. Thank you, Lord. You know, as we join with Him and as our hearts are pierced and rent open before Him, it allows that transfiguration glory, the invitation to live from the eternal realm, to be revealed and displayed through us physically. Because as we begin to allow our hearts to be expanded and rent, it actually breaks our dependency on this realm and places our trust and our dependency in Him. It invites us in to relinquish our control and our dependence on the carnal reality so that we can embrace His eternal reality. Are we willing to lay our lives down for others as well as for God? Have we loved our lives not unto death? I can feel more things coming in and just the weight of what He's doing in here. So bear with me in the pauses because I'm just waiting on Him. I know some of you guys have really dealt with grief, and there's been grief that's kind of been lingering and clinging onto your heart. I just want you to know that the greater your grief, it shows the great realms of your love. And it's the depth of our love that determines the intensity and rate of our weeping. The Desert Fathers would say that God enters through the open wound or the shattered window of our heart in order to bring healing to our souls. And that the vulnerability, just as Jesus displayed such vulnerability on the cross, actually that vulnerability is the only way towards holiness. Are we willing to be vulnerable in our hearts towards the Lord? Or will we continue to hide our hearts in self-protective mode? You know, King David prayed, "Search my heart, Lord." Do we invite Him in to search the depths of our heart? Do we trust Him enough to allow His light to be displayed clearly in and through? Because wherever you allow His light to shine, that light brings with it healing. When you allow His light to shine in those places, you're actually welcoming in the cleansing flow of His precious blood. He's lifting off grief even now. You can hand that over to Him, and memories and trauma. You can just breathe it out because the Lord's taking it, He's carrying it away. He's just lifting. He's very gentle and He's very patient. You know, your heart is what He is most interested in, because it's the doorway to knowing Him. It's the place that He unites Himself in you. It's the same place where He allows us to reconcile the natural and the eternal. If you're going through it, if you really battled with sufferings or some kind of pain and trauma, you can actually rejoice because you actually get to join with him in his sufferings and what he went through and how he endured and how he overcame. It's actually quite a divine privilege. It can actually bring you and transition you into such a deep place of intimacy. I think it was Padre Pio that said, if people knew the value of suffering, they would ask for nothing less. I was taken into the weeping room in heaven a little while ago, and I was shown there that every tear that we spill before him, be that in joy, in worship, or just through our sorrow or brokenness, but every tear that is shed before him, as we trade our brokenness to him, it's transformed into diamonds. And even in the diamonds, that reflects and emits the light of his beauty and glory. Everything carries such beauty there. So when you've been trusted with bearing his sufferings, it's often a time to rejoice. Even if the only expression that you can manage is a single tear, that single tear is so precious to him because it's something you're trusting him with. You know, in the Jewish traditions, the circumcision happens on the eighth day. Eight is the number for new beginnings. So today, even as you offer your heart to him, it could be your new beginning. It could be a new day of allowing the Lord to freely walk in and out of the passageways of your heart, bringing the realm of his shalom, bringing the realm of his peace and his goodness, the governmental authority of his love and his kindness. You know, he wants to covenant with us because it reminds him of his promises. That's why Abraham covenanted with him, because it was a reminder of God's promises to him. That circumcision was a seal of righteousness by faith. So when our hearts are circumcised, we then have a threshold to meet with our Maker. It's an opening into a higher destiny. It's where the Lord meets with us and leads us, takes us by the hand and leads us on the paths of our testimony scroll. We can't meet with him in a church or out there. You can't meet with him externally. You meet with him on that hiddenmost place of your heart, and it's there that he takes you by the hand. It's not all seen out here in panoramic visions. It's seen through the eyes of your heart. It's as your eyes of your heart are enlightened and illuminated in truth, you begin to walk out the reality of truth. Then he begins to show you. Then it becomes that reality framed up around you. His ways are so much infinitely higher than our ways. And it's, you know, it's through our circumcised hearts that we meet with the great compassion of his heart. We have no idea how big his compassion is. Jesus would be moved by compassion like to such a depth. It would be like that groan, like when he was groaning over my scroll. It was like deep groans as if in birthing. That's how much he was moved. He was moved in the very core place of his gut with compassion when he was, you know, when he reached out to heal somebody or he looked at somebody and he was moved by compassion. Sometimes, like many of the saints of old and the mystics had an experience called transverberation where their actual heart was ruptured. I had this on occasions too. One time when it was angelic that actually speared me through and I felt my heart ruptured and I joined with the Lord, just as his heart was ruptured and the early church was birthed. Another time I met with the Lord and we had an exchange of hearts. He showed me my beating heart in his hand. It was completely inflamed. It was inflamed with the fire of his holiness. Well, St. Gertrude said this: the Holy Ghost inflames hearts with the fire of his love and leaves them like melted wax. Then upon them the Saviour stamps his image like a divine seal. Sometimes the Lord will write things on our hearts. You know, this isn't something just for the saints and the mystics of old. This is something for each of us. It just takes our choice, really, for our flesh to be flexible, for our hearts to be rent wider, to allow more of him to be revealed. When you feel your heart being stretched and rent in four directions, will you allow the divine lover to kiss your heart with the sweetness of his love? The Lord will sometimes invite us into his wounds because we sometimes have real clarity. We find real clarity there and perspective because when we're found in his living scars, we can actually radiate his life. Oh Lord, touch us with your divine love, Lord, and your fire. Lord, that as our souls thirst for you, Lord, and our flesh cries out for you, Lord, I thank you that you meet us through that open wound of our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you display your goodness in and through us, Lord. Search our hearts, Lord, even now. Search our hearts, Lord. That you'd find your resting place, that you'd find your house, that you'd make your home in us, Lord. You know, our heart shapes our thoughts. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. So it's out of our heart. If we're not at a place of rest, if we're at a place of agitation or mistrust or suspicion, it actually affects everything. It's only when we're at that place of rest and peace and stillness that, like the reflections on a lake, if the water's troubled, you're not going to see a very clear image. But as you lean into the place of rest and stillness, you actually begin to see a much clearer reflection. It's important to be found in the rest of God. Just to lean back into him and to trust him. I find I need to live in his heart. I can't depart from that place. He's actually my life source. I need to live in him. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We just invite you to stretch us further, Lord. Stretch us further, Lord. Stretch us further, Lord. That your infinite life would be displayed in and through us. We welcome your transfiguration glory, Lord. The day star rising in our hearts, Lord. We welcome the mystery, Lord. We lean into your mysteries and the beauty of your face. thank you, Lord. Just as you hung on the cross, we were there in you, with you. Thank you for your glory being revealed through us, God. We honor you, King Jesus. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, King Jesus. We align our hearts in yours. Thank you, Lord, for that sweet display of your splendor. I ask, Father, even as we go tonight, Lord, that you would continue just to, with your heart surgery, even as we rest, even as we sleep, Lord, would you perform heart surgery even in our subconscious and unconscious, Lord? Would you just remove painful memories, Lord, and areas of trauma, areas of grief, areas of sorrow and brokenness, area of mistrust and suspicion? Lord, I thank you for the cleansing flow of your blood. May that continue to wash over our hearts and our minds, Lord. That you would lead us into your wonderful, beautiful refreshment that is found through beholding you clearly. We worship you, King Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.